¿Buscas las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's? ¡Estás justo a tiempo! Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. ¿Estás pensando ya en poner luces navideñas? Aprovecha ahorros de hasta 50% en escaleras selectas. Precios de Black Friday sin las filas de Black Friday. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta el 11-19, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Okay, so picture this. A digital file surfaces. Leaked. Dated 1998, rural Kentucky. And it's just footage. No context, nothing.
Right, just raw footage. And it centers on this 17-year-old girl, Jonah Briggs.
Yeah, Jonah Briggs. And her parents, they apparently believe something, well, latched onto her after she explored an old abandoned church.
And their description of what happened next fits, you know, a certain pattern.
Yeah.
Not a medical one in their eyes. Something darker.
Right. Things like speaking in a strange low voice, not like her own at all, refusing to eat.
And waking up every single night at precisely 3.17 a.m. Very specific.
Super specific. So instead of doctors, they called in Daniel Cray,
who described himself as a deliverance minister, but importantly, he had no official church affiliation, operating completely on his own.
Okay. And this deep dive, it takes us right into the footage from Cray's, all his early sessions with Jonah. And I have to say, watching some of this stuff for the first time, it genuinely gave me chills. There are these moments where you just think, wow, is this like actually real?
Well, looking at it, what I see is a young woman clearly in a state of profound distress. And the fact that this intervention started without any kind of medical checkup by someone, you know, outside established religious authority, that raises immediate flags for me.
Definitely.
Our aim here isn't to say definitively this was X or this was Y. It's more about looking closely at what the footage actually shows, how things escalated.
Yeah, trying to understand what it tells us about, well, about belief, maybe desperation, and how messy reality can get.
Exactly.
So let's get into it. Session one, the footage is labeled the floor clawing. And it's rough. I mean, Jonah isn't just upset. She's screaming these guttural sounds and physically attacking the floorboards, clawing at them.
And Cray's reaction.
It's immediate. Very fervent prayers. Intense. And it sounds like glossolalia, speaking in tongues.
That's what it often sounds like in these contexts, yes. Utterance is believed by some to be a spiritual language.
What struck me was just the raw emotion, the physicality of it, but zero attempt to figure out, like, medically what's causing this outburst.
And this is where interpretation splits, you see.
Yeah.
From one perspective, perhaps a paranormal one, this is it. A physical struggle against an entity lashing out.
The entity fighting back.
Potentially. But look at it psychologically. This could also be an extreme panic attack, maybe dissociation. She's overwhelmed, detached.
Right. And the whole atmosphere, intense prayer, everyone expecting something, that could definitely influence things, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Suggestion, even unconscious suggestion, in a high-stress environment is powerful. It can absolutely shape behavior.
Okay, but then comes this next bit, the escalation, specifically the voice shift.
Ah, yes. That part is particularly striking.
There's this point in a session, she's agitated, talking, and then her voice just changes. And it's not subtle. It's like deep. Gravelous.
It's a distinctly different quality.
Totally. And then there's this laugh. It does not sound like a teenage girl. It sounds, well, it sounds genuinely disturbing, almost like malevolent.
Mm.
It makes it really hard to just brush that off as, oh, she's acting or it's just stress, you know?
It certainly poses a challenge. Vocal changes under extreme emotional distress or even due to physical strain on the vocal cords can be quite dramatic. We also have to consider mimicry. Could she, consciously or unconsciously, be replicating something she's seen or heard, perhaps even influenced, however subtly, by Cray himself?
You mean like he's somehow suggesting how a possessed person should sound?
It's a possibility that can't be dismissed out of hand. The power of suggestion, especially from an authority figure in that setting, is significant. So while it's definitely unsettling footage, attributing it solely to the supernatural requires careful consideration of these other factors.
Okay, so we're seeing Jonah's behavior get more and more extreme. Let's pivot to the guy running the show, Daniel Cray.
The self-proclaimed minister.
Exactly. Operating totally outside any official church structure. We found out later, church authorities actually made a statement.
Oh, what did it say?
Basically, that exorcism is serious. It's not a performance, not for untrained people. It's meant as, like, spiritual protection within their specific rules and oversight.
Which Cray clearly wasn't following.
Not at all. What does that tell us about him or the parents relying on him?
Well, it taps into a long history, really. People operating on the fringes, offering alternative solutions when mainstream ones seemed to fail. The parents? Maybe they felt lost. Maybe they deeply distrusted conventional medicine or felt they just couldn't grasp what was happening to Jonah.
So they turned to him out of desperation.
Desperation, deep faith, maybe a combination. They might have been incredibly vulnerable to someone who confidently offered a spiritual answer.
And Cray himself. Was he a fraud? Or did he genuinely believe he could help, just without the right knowledge or authority?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Based purely on the footage, it's impossible to know his true intentions. Was it exploitation or misguided sincerity? Or perhaps some mix of both?
And things just keep getting worse. The footage apparently shows Jonah deteriorating physically.
Yes, the accounts describe a very alarming decline.
By day 6, she's reportedly unresponsive, limp. Looks really unwell, you know, probably severe dehydration, malnutrition. She hadn't been eating.
A clear medical emergency unfolding.
But Cray just keeps going. Same methods, prayers, commands, despite her condition worsening right in front of everyone.
He seems completely focused on the spiritual, apparently unable or maybe unwilling to see the physical crisis.
For me, that's the point where, look, whatever you thought was happening initially, spiritual or not, this is now clearly medical neglect.
Right. Yeah. It's incredibly difficult to watch or even read about. This is a critical failure. Regardless of the initial cause of her distress, the continued spiritual intervention in the face of obvious life-threatening physical decline. It's deeply disturbing.
It highlights this terrifying disconnect. Prioritizing a specific belief system over undeniable physical needs.
With potentially fatal consequences.
Which is exactly what happened. She's finally taken to the hospital after 6 days of this. 6 days.
But it's too late.
Yeah. She died just 2 days later. And Cray's defense, apparently he just said she was already too far gone.
An utterly inadequate response,
yeah.
Offering no real accountability.
Chillingly inadequate. And then, of course, the footage leaks online eventually, and it just explodes.
Dividing opinion sharply.
Totally. You've got people saying, see, proof of possession, and others looking at it horrified, saying this was untreated illness, exploitation, a preventable tragedy.
And what's fascinating in a very somber way is what happened next with Cray.
He still had followers, even after this.
Reportedly, yes. Yeah. Still received letters, tokens. People seeking his help, which speaks volumes about the power of belief, doesn't it?
What?
Even after such a tragic outcome, that need for answers, for meaning in the face of the frightening or inexplicable, it's a powerful human drive. People cling to interpretations that offer some kind of comfort or structure, even if they lack empirical backing.
So we've walked through this leaked file, the floor clawing, that disturbing voice shift, Cray's questionable authority, Jonah's decline, her death.
And these two fundamentally opposing ways of seeing it all.
Yeah.
A real paranormal event gone wrong, or a tragedy born from misbelief and dangerous amateurism.
And that church statement really underscores the difference, right? Their cautious, structured approach versus Cray just doing his own thing.
A very stark contrast, highlighting the potential dangers when individuals operate outside established protocols and oversight in such high-stakes situations.
Which leaves us with this one final, really nagging question about the whole thing.
The footage itself.
Exactly. This footage was apparently wiped from almost everywhere online, scrubbed clean. Why? If it was just a clear-cut case of, I don't know, fraud or tragic medical neglect, why try so hard to make it disappear? Why the censorship?
It does seem counterintuitive if there was a simple, non-supernatural explanation.
Right. And if there was nothing truly disturbing or unexplainable to hide, why does this one leaked copy persist like a ghost in the machine? Truth, whatever it might be, was someone so determined to bury.